joy again to be able to stand with you, in front of you, bring the Word of God. We're coming to a portion of Scripture. Before I read it, I just want to give a little bit of a background to it. It's a Scripture that, as we look at this wilderness journey that Israel has been on and we're on, we recognize that you come to certain parts, and this portion is one of those parts, that there has to be a summary. You know, after 40 years, you need a little summary. And we're going to look at this summary today. It's a summary that actually, there are parts of the summary where some of the places, we don't even know where they are. And it's not in a precise order in terms of a chronological order of this and then this and then this. So what we're looking at and what we're going to read is it's not about an inaccuracy, but it's a there's a certain amount of ambiguity in it. And ambiguity in God's Word is not that it's not clear, but it's actually to sort of create for us a picture so that we might see what is and ought to be most clear, so that our eyes are able to focus on His truth and His principles. And that's what I want you to do this morning as we look and as we read the book from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 1. Stand with me, if you would, as we read this God's Word together. And these are the words that Moses spoke to all Israel beyond the Jordan in the wilderness, in the Arabah, opposite Suf, between Paran and Tophel, Laban and Hatzeroth, and Dizabab. It is 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. In the 40th year, on the first day of the 11th month, Moses spoke to the people of Israel, according to all that the Lord had given him in commandment to them. After he had defeated Sihon, the king of Amorites, who lived in the Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, who lived in Ashtaroth, and in Erdi, beyond the Jordan, in the land of Moab, Moses undertook to explain this law, saying, "The Lord our God is to us in Horeb," or said to us in Horeb, "You have stayed long enough at this mountain. Turn, take your journey, and go to the hill country of the Amorites, and to all their neighbors in the Arabah, in the hill country, and in the lowland, and in the Negev, and by the seacoast, the land of the Canaanites, and Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. See, I have set the land before you. Go in, take possession of the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them and to their offspring after them. And at that time I said to you, I'm not able to bear you by myself. The Lord your God has multiplied you, and behold, you are today as numerous as the stars of the heaven. May the Lord, the God of your fathers, make you 1,000 times as many as you are and bless you. He has promised you. How can I bear by myself the weight and burden of you and your strife? Choose for your tribes wise, understanding, experienced men, and I will appoint them as your heads. And you answered me, the thing that you have spoken is good for us to do. So I took the heads of your tribes, wise and experienced men, and set them as heads over you, commanders of thousands, commanders of hundreds, commanders of fifties, commanders of tens, and officers throughout your tribes. And I charged your judges at that time, hear the cases between your brothers, and judge righteously between a man and his brother, or the alien who is with him. And you shall not be partial in judgment. You'll bear the small and the great alike. You shall not be intimidated by anyone, for the judgment is God's, and the case that is too hard for you, you shall bring to me, and I will hear it. And I command you that at that time all the things that you should do." And then we set out from Horeb and went through all the great and terrifying wilderness that you saw, on the way to the hill country of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us. And we came to Kadesh Barnea, and I said to you, "You have come to the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. See, The Lord your God has set up the land before you. Go up, take possession, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has told you. Do not fear or be dismayed. And all of you came near me and said, let us send men before us, that they may explore the land for us and bring word again by the way of the way by which we must go up and the cities into which we shall come. The thing seemed good to me, and I took 12 men from you, one man from each tribe, and they turned and went up unto the hill country and came to the valley of Eshkol and spied it out. And they took in their hands some of the fruit of the land and brought it to us and brought us word again and said, it is a good land that the Lord our God is giving us. May God add to us this morning his Spirit. Let me pray. Father, open our eyes, open our hearts, that we might see your glory and that we might see that glory in Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. This is a summary, and like all summaries, it has sort of different movements, different motions. We were almost now 40 years connected to Africa. Actually, a little bit more. And when we started to go 40 years ago, our son was only about 5. And we'd been talking about it, and he'd been looking at pictures. And I remember him asking one day, Daddy, when we go to Africa, will I be black? And I suppose he was looking at it from his eyes, wondering what are the changes that happened. Well, actually, we did become a little African, but it took a long time, many years before some of those values came to us. And if I were to recount those 40-plus years in which our feet and our hearts have been in that great continent of Africa, I would have to break it down in just a few sentences, otherwise I'd go on and on. I could say we lived in both rural places where there wasn't electricity and there was no water, and we lived in the urban bustling center of Nairobi. So we've spanned both ends. I could tell you that we did church planting and community development and leadership training and HIV/AIDS work. I could tell you that we, by God's grace, have been able to engage in some of the global needs of the world that we're just touching in Africa. Violent ethnic conflict, the HIV/AIDS crisis. And so I could sort of comprehend all of our ministry in Africa into sort of three movements. And that's what Moses does. That's what we have here in Deuteronomy. We have a gathering into three movements. And I want you to see that, because it's really about what God does to form us as people, his people. So I want you to think with me this morning about a word that doesn't exist, but I'm going to give it to you. It's what I want to say, peopleness. That doesn't make any sense, does it? But what does it mean to be a people? Well, there's a character quality of being a people, and I want to call that this morning peopleness. So stay with me. We're going to look at these movements that God has given to us in this text. It's a story of God's creating a peopleness, a people after his own heart. How he nurtured them. He changed them from a bunch of slaves into what was an amazing rule of law, moving army that took over a part of the world and brought fear into the hearts of kings and princes and nations. He transformed them. There are three really basic principles that he gave to them, that he walked them through. He gave them first a sense of a vision of who they were to be and where they were going. It was less where they were going, actually, than who they were to be. And as that vision began to take a form in their lives and before them and around them, he gives them leaders that had integrity, leaders that had truth, leaders that would walk before them. And so they had leaders, and they looked at those. But then he calls them to action, and it's really simple. I see the way, I am led in the way, and I am led to act. That's how God formed his people. Those are the three movements that I want you to see with me in this text. And it is an amazing text as we look at it. So when we look at the first couple verses of this particular chapter, it's a description of the breadth and the length of the land of promise. You put your eyes upon these, and Moses is speaking. And all of these places that are there, some of them we don't even know exactly where they are. But it was like Moses saying, listen, here we are, and I want you to know that there is this place over here, and that place over there, and this place down there, and that place down over there, and that place way over there. That's God's promise. That's his promised land. That's where he's going to take you to. And verse 2 brings us to the point where it was actually a very short journey between the mountain where they had assembled for so long and Kadesh Barnea, which was the entrance to that great promised land. And you say, 11 days doesn't seem like a very short journey. But in comparison to the number of people that were being moved and the 40 years that they spent wandering, 11 days was not very long. They could have gotten there in less than 2 weeks, walking. So we weren't talking about a long distance. But they weren't a people yet. They were still slaves in their own hearts and in their own minds. They didn't even know God. So that journey, which was only 11 days, took a lot longer to build in them the character that God wanted in them. Verse 3 through 5 sort of compresses those 40 years. If you look at those, Moses speaks to Israel all the words that the Lord had given him in commandment to them. After he had defeated Sihon, king of the Amorites, just remember all of these defeats that had already happened, because later on in these few verses, people are going to say, wait a minute, we were afraid of these people. Like, yeah, but God defeated them. What were you afraid of? They still feared. So it compresses that entire journey. Verses 7 and 8 are amazing verses, and they are set off by verse 6. The Lord our God said to us in Horeb, you have stayed long enough in this mountain. Long enough you've stayed here. You need now to go on. So there's a time in God's time where he says, you've been at this long enough. You've received the word. It doesn't mean that everything was done. It doesn't mean that they were fully formed. But God said, you've been here long enough, go. He'd given them the law. He'd given them the truth that he had provided for them in so many ways. And now he's saying, I want you to get up to the land. And you know, when that had happened, that they still hadn't wandered in the wilderness. Because God was saying, go up there, go in. And they went in. They said, it's a great place, but... And then they wandered for 40 years, only to get back to that place. It was only 11 days' journey away. So the covenant that God calls us to be and to have is to be a people. To be a people in a place that act like his people. Let me say that again. The promise, the covenant that God has given to us is to be a people in a place that act like his people. It's simply that simple. It's not a big complexity. And that's the covenantal promise that he gives to us today, just as he gave to his people then. This idea of peopleness is a sort of a way of describing a culture. It's a shared experience. It's the way we learn the reality in our world. And if you went to different parts of the world, as God has blessed us to be able to do, you'd recognize that what we call the minority or the majority world, which is not the West, it's not Europe, but it's where most of the people of the world live, sometimes is known as the two-thirds world because there's two-thirds of the people live outside of those so-called more sophisticated places. Peopleness, culture, is often shown in language, in culture, in place. But when we get to our space in North America, our peopleness is more often defined as race, as economy, as education. You see how we change the sense of peopleness. What does it take to be one of me or one of you? Well, we define what we are. So God's calling us to ask the question today, who are we as the people of God? What is our peopleness? Is our peopleness to be defined by this one thing or that one thing? Or these several things? What is that sense of peopleness that God calls us to? And I think it's actually not any different than it was for Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 1. Verses 9 and 10, we realize that God had already fulfilled much of his promise, but there was way more to come. At that time I said to you, I am not able to bear you by myself. The Lord your God has multiplied you. You remember God's promise to Abraham? He said, Abram, I'm going to make you and your seed more numerous than the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. And Abraham looks at him and says, but I don't even have a son. Give me a break. And now Moses is saying, behold, you're as numerous as the stars of the heavens. Not yet, maybe, including all the sands of the seashore. So God says, you're going to have more. And Moses says, the God of your fathers, may he make you 1,000 times as many and bless you as he has promised you. How can I bear by myself these things? I can't do it. Moses recognized that he was, although God's leader, he was an insufficient leader. There needed to be more. Moses could only look forward to the coming of Christ, who would indeed be able to lift up, to bear the thousands of the stars and the billions of sands on the seashore. Christ alone could be that leader. But Moses is here lifting it up, and he says, listen, God has already blessed you. I want you to remember that. You are the people of God. God has already blessed you. You may say, well, we have too many empty spaces in our room. How can that be God's blessing? You have tasted of God's blessing. You have tasted what it means to be the people of God. God has been giving you a peopleness, and I just want you to ask you to reflect on that. What does God really want from me? What does he expect from me? And so this covenant of God, given by God, was a land, it was a people, and it was a blessing. Or we could say, we could mix that up and say, it was a people in a place that brought blessing. That's the blessing that we carry to others, that you carry to others. Hasn't changed. After the wilderness wandering, there were a few of the generation that entered the land, only a very few. It was tragic. They all left with great hope, great expectation. They wandered. God added to them. But the ones that actually entered the land were very, very few. Not even Moses entered that land. He got to see it, but he didn't enter it. There was disbelief. There was dissension. There was dissatisfaction. All the things we've been looking at, reading about. The church is the people of God. And we don't all arrive at the place of blessing that God has intended for us. It's true. We're eaten up by some of these things. But God said, secondly, besides seeing the promise, seeing what's out there, I want to give you leaders. Leaders that have values. So he says in verse 13, I want you to choose from your tribes. And again, remember, tribes, they're defined as some of their peopleness. I'm of this tribe. They all spoke the same language. But my great-great-great-grandfather was so-and-so, and that was part of their being a people. They were divided into tribes. He said, choose leaders. Leaders with wisdom and experience, according to verse 14. According to verse 15, he then organized the leaders into groups that didn't require huge numbers. And you say, wait a minute, there's some big numbers here. Leaders of thousands. Well, if you break 1,000 down into hundreds, then you realize that there was an order in this. The leader of 1,000 basically was leading enough men who were leaders of hundreds. And leaders of hundreds were overseeing maybe 2 leaders of 50s. And the leaders of 50s were overseeing leaders of 10s. So nobody was really connecting with more than about 10 people. That's a pattern of Scripture. It's not the only place. But Moses was given that pattern early on as his leadership mandate. It was a blessing in our last session meeting. I want all of you to know this. It was a blessing to me to ask the question, where's your shepherding plan? And there it was. Well, the congregation is divided into parts, and each elder oversees a part of that. They pray for you. They don't just pray for you, those of us who are seated here. They pray and they engage in the lives of even people that have left, people you haven't seen for a long time. That's the kind of leader that Moses said, I want you to choose. And this is how we're going to organize ourselves. It's an incredible blessing. It was an incredible blessing to be able to actually have a document that said, all right, here's how the people of grace are divided up. We can pray for them. We can investigate and know how it is that they are, what they're experiencing, what they need to do. Do they need to move on? Moses said, give me leaders. We're looking for the next pastor, leader. But it's not that you don't have leaders. It's not that you don't have already the blessing that God has said, I want you to experience. You have it. And may he add it and multiply it 1,000 times more as you reach out. So there were leaders. Leaders who went through, verse 19 says, a terrifying wilderness. That's the actual word that is in our translation here. We set out from Horeb, and we went through all that great and terrifying wilderness that you saw on the way to the hill country of the Amorites. It wasn't easy, was it, to deal with needs, the needs that they couldn't meet in that terrifying wilderness. It was not a simple thing to deal with the dissension that came up. It was not an easy thing to deal with the power holding that came up in their journeys. It was not an easy thing to deal with fear, to deal with the unknown. And yet God led his people experiencing all of those things. They shared that experience. They shared the needs. They shared the wants. They shared the dissensions. They shared all of those things. And what you need to see is what was so important and what took us a long time to see in our African journeys. We have a way in our Western world of talking about what I have experienced, about me. There is a reformulation that happens in much of Africa that it illustrates a way of seeing. And it is stated, I am because we are. That is, I have no place without us. It's not enough for me to be me. I have to be we. We. And we need to take that an extension more and to say, I am because I am a part of the body of Christ. Who is? Jesus is the one that gives me a space, a meaning, a place. And he gathers me into his people. And I find my significance because I'm a part of his people. I'm a part of who he is. It's not just about me. It's not a me-ness. It's a we-ness in our people-ness. How about all those words that don't even, they're not even words. But they're meanings. So God calls his former people in verse 21. He says, I want you to go up. Go up. Fearlessly claim the promise. You've been here long enough. Go up. He'd already said it earlier. Now in verse 21, he says it again. And so this people begin to act together. They came together and they said to Moses in verse 22, let us go and explore this land. Moses says in verse 23, yeah, that's good. I agree. I'm going to bless them. You send them out. And they did. And verse 24 tells us about their act of faith in knowing the land. They went out, they saw it. They actually didn't get through the whole land. They never got to the river Euphrates, but that great river was a part of their claim, of their place. They never got out that far. But when the spies came back, they said, this is a great place. It's a wonderful place. And verse 25 tells us how much of the blessing of the Lord was found. And the people said, it's a good land that our Lord is giving us. It's a good place. God's people, when they work together, always can see this is a, we can affirm it to each other. This is a good place. Our church isn't like another church. It's a good place. God's called me to a good place. Beloved in Christ, you know the land very well. You know your space right here in Baltimore. Many of you have been here a long time. You know that you're almost in the parking lot of the airport. That's the global entry to the world. You know that you have the University of Maryland in your backyard. You know where you are. You know your space. It's a good space. It's a good space that God has brought you to. And you are the people of God, becoming more and more the people of God. But you know, as good as the fruit of the land was, and as good as the fruit of the land is that we have, it is still incomparable to the fruit that Christ has promised yet to bring. We can look back and we can say, oh, these last years have been good years. If they were really good years, we say to ourselves, why do we have fewer people now than we had then? Well, the Israelites could have said the same thing. What happened to all these people? But it's a good place. It's not yet as good as God intends it to be. The place hasn't changed, but our experience of it will change. We will experience more of God's goodness. We will be able to be more of God's blessing to the nations and to the peoples that are around us. God says, lift up your vision. See. And if you went through again this text, you'd see how many, you would see how many times he says, see. See it. See it. See it. Because if you see it, you can move towards it. God goes before his people. They'd rebelled in unbelief. But God led them anyway, all through the wilderness. He showed them the way. He provided for them. He took care of them when they couldn't take care of themselves. When they were full of dissension, he healed the dissension. He made it clear. Christ is our pillar. Christ is the cloud that covers us. Christ is the one that lifts our eyes and is the leader that Moses could never be. is the leader that you will never find in this pulpit. It is Christ himself. Don't look at a human leader and expect that human leader is going to be a perfect human leader. He's not. Never will be. And yet God said, I'm going to divide you. I want you to bring leaders. So we're broken leaders. We're all broken leaders. We're all inadequate leaders. And all we can do is to say, Christ is the one who leads us. Look and see how he's led me. Look and see how he's provided for me. So here's the lesson of the wilderness. We have to see together. Together we have to see. We have to share the values of justice, of encouragement, of obedience. We have to share them together. Those values that our leaders also give, also show, also model. And we have to practice together, work together, act together, continue to meet each other's needs, asking the question, what is it that God wants us to do and to be a blessing to each other? We have needs. We have needs for childcare. We have needs for outreach. We have needs for physical care. We have needs. There are a lot of needs. There's no lack of needs. What has God called you to step into? And he simply says, act together. It's never I do this and I think this, but you do that and you think that. We're not separate. This is a we do. There were people who believed when they came to Kadesh Barnea and said, it's a great land, let's go in. Oh, no, there are giants in the land. We can't do that. God brought us out here. We're going to be defeated. You'd already won. What do you mean you'd be defeated? No, we can't do that. So as a people, they never entered. We have a deeply divided nation. We have lost our peopleness as a nation. We have lost decency, the rule of law, the value of coming behind good, even if not perfect, leaders. And if we as a church lose our peopleness, if we lose that, then the promised land will just be a mirage in the desert. Don't lose your peopleness. That's what God gives you. That's what God gives us to follow him. If we fail, it's not an earthly leader, but the presence of Christ. And that presence goes before us. It goes before you. Follow him. Maybe you've doubted. I doubt. I fail. I fall. Maybe you too have doubted and struggled. Maybe you've grown weary. Maybe you've grown skeptical. Look back to Christ. He is our leader. So I haven't been very long around grace. I haven't. But several things are clear. There have been losses. Yes. There always will be. But you are a people that have a vision. You know the land. God has given to you some incredible leaders. God has given to you the ability to bind together and know each other's needs. God has given to you a space around you. I've seen that. You've scouted the land. You know it. Now, go. Go up. Fearlessly enter the place that God has given to you. As the people that God has made you. And be a blessing that God has intended, that the nations might see and know. I came to Christ at grace and through grace. May God be with you, and may he hold you in his presence. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you, Father, for coming around us, for giving us vision, enabling us to see who you are and who it is and what it is that you want us to occupy and to do. Thank you for the leaders that you have brought to us. Father, thank you for calling us to not only raise our eyes, but to raise our hands and our voices and to be a blessing to the world around us, a world that has lost its peopleness. Make us your people in this broken place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.